to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. Welcome to Logos Rhema Hour with God's servant, Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. And now, to today's message.
Let's take our confession, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen. And so just quickly, let's recap what we learned last. So let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Let's look at verse 16. Then, as we narrated, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. Underline it also, to be tempted by the devil. And then, and when he had fasted for the word, 40 days, underline fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Right? Underline, "it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Amen. Hallelujah. A few principles that we have picked up right from verse 16 that we have titled it here, the Jordan experience. Each and everyone must have a Jordan experience. Amen. Where we do everything just like Jesus. As we said, he had to travel over 48 to 70 kilometers from Nazareth all the way to Jordan, where his cousin John was preaching and baptizing. But the message was a baptism of repentance, calling out in his ministry all who would hear to repent of their sins, hallelujah, an answer to God about the universal charge of guilt before God. Not because we have done something or not done anything, but rather because of the righteous requirements of God's law, that all have sinned. And that is why we said Jesus also, I don't know what ever prompted him to make that journey, because he was sinless, he was perfect. But nonetheless, like he told cousin John when he got there, it is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. So if you have to be born again so that you will fulfill righteousness, you have to do it. And so Jesus moved all the way, hallelujah, from Nazareth and came all the way to Jordan. And then, as we said, it was a public experience, hallelujah. So everybody was coming to the Jordan, everybody who stepped into that water so that he could be baptized was identifying himself as a sinner. Hallelujah. So all the people who were there at the Jordanian riverside saw Jesus and saw that he was a sinner. Hallelujah. And he was also coming for baptism. But we know he had not sinned. Amen. More or less what we learned was that, and what we are saying is that your born again experience cannot be in secrecy. Amen. You can't be a secret believer. All the people who were secret believers like Joseph of Arimathea and then Nicodemus, they came out. Sooner than later, you have to come out. Else you go back. Amen. It is very, very, very important. Amen. And that's what we are calling the Jordanian experience. You have to, it is a public thing. And so I said it and warned, your pastor, nobody knows. No, you don't have a pastor. Nobody knows that you are born again. Your mom or dad, whoever, your senior brother, senior sister who led you to Christ, the one who first told you about the requirements of the gospel, the charge of God. It's a very public thing. It can't be that nobody in this world knows that you are born again. Hallelujah. Amen. It can't be private. It's not private. Hallelujah. And so sooner than later, you must, amen, by all means, else the other secretly that followed that we saw, the open heaven environment, the endorsement of heaven, that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The fullness of the Holy Spirit coming on you. The drive into the wilderness. Like we always say, fasting is an initiative for maturity. Hallelujah. Every matured believer will be initiated, if you like, into a lifestyle of fasting and praying and studying the word of God. Amen. So that you can be able to know the purpose for which God has called you and be able to enter into it, which we see in the life of Jesus. So you need that Jordanian experience, you need that wilderness experience, which we are saying now. When or under what circumstances did you get born again? After encountering God or being confronted by God over your lifestyle and continual rejection of Him. Amen. When? Who knows? Who is pastoring you? Did that encounter lead you to the cross for repentance? You have to. All have sinned. Because we are looking for the genuine and then the authentic thing. That's why we are pressing the reset button. So you understand what it takes when you say you are born again. God will confront you. Amen. Even if you have been going to church and you've been doing, He will confront you. He says that righteousness, it is as filthy rags before Him. So this born again, it doesn't matter that, you know, I've lived with mommy and I've been in church all along. I don't smoke, I don't sin, I don't swear, I've not done that. No, that's not what we mean by being born again. When you go through that, something very, very significant will happen to your life. Something significant. Like we are seeing in the life of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why we said, did that encounter lead you to the cross for repentance? And did you repent and renounce your sin? And hence baptized. We saw the symbolism of baptism. Past buried inside the water. And then as you come out, rising out to a new life. Amen. And then we saw the heavens, in the heavenly realms, you getting incorporated into God's household of faith. So we said repentance and therefore being born again, the renunciation of sin and embracing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is no private matter at all. It is a very public thing, a public declaration of faith in Jesus, witnessed by all. The least is the people in your household. Amen. And if yours is still private, then I'm afraid you'll fall sooner than later. And it's a deception. It's arrogance to God. Everybody's own is public. So how can your own, your born again, is private? So that's why you don't go to church. Even when you come to church, I don't want to. So as for me, I don't like this Shababa thing. And you are starving. The Holy Spirit is looking for the opportunity to burst out and manifest His life to you. And you are shut up. You bottled Him in. And because you are not studying the word. Hallelujah. And we have seen that even Jesus, in the day and a time that He had no sin in His life, went public, traveled all the way from Nazareth to the Jordanian riverside and got baptized just to make that public declaration and identification as having repented, if you like, of no sin. And but He did that to identify Himself with our struggles with sin and to make a bold public statement that day, that though I know no sin. I'm willing to come alongside of you who will all allow me so that I can help you conquer and do away with sin. You need help in this Christian life. We were all helped. We were all helped, if you let me use the word, by our seniors. Amen. We're all helped by our leaders. We're all helped by our friends who have been through Christ earlier. We were all encouraged. That's why, you know, this fellowship thing, it's so important, so critical to the strides that you can make. You can't do it alone. Amen. Hallelujah. And so let's all be serious with our born-again stories. Hallelujah. Amen. And when we do that, only then, I believe, will God declare over our lives that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So that is what we saw from 16, 17. We saw the Holy Spirit lightening upon him. And then in verse 17, let's look at 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's 17. Now, 4:1. Then, after these conditionalities, Larson, we're saying the marks, being genuinely and sincerely repentant or being born again, experiencing true baptism in the Spirit. And then, as we saw, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, validated by God's ordering of an open heaven environment over your life and ministry. Amen. Receiving an open and heavenly declaration and endorsements, because you will need it. You will need it if your prayers are going to work. You will need it. You will need it. You need access. Hallelujah. You need access. Amen. So that all the powers that be, they will take note. It's serious business. This born again enterprise. Amen. And some of us have taken it light for long and you are not making progress. We said you don't want to tiptoe into heaven, beating, hallelujah, shaking, panting. No, God expects us to come in blazing, in song, and in victory. Hallelujah. So we have to enter there rejoicing and singing, hallelujah, instead of tiptoeing there, amen. But it's all because we have not been sincere, we've not been authentic, we are not running and playing according to the rules. And when that happens, then we have all this thing. After he had done that, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. So then that will take us to the wilderness experience. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit. I like that one. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Amen. Jesus, being full. So we see from the text here that something very significant happened to Jesus. And as he left the Jordan River side, he was full. That's why I always say that when you are sincerely born again and you have met the terms and the conditionalities, there is no way you are going to miss it. You know that something has entered and filled you. The feeling of the Holy Spirit is discernible. And that's why Paul will say you have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. The trick is that you have to be revisiting the Jordanian experience. Because the Bible says there is no way that you live in this world that you will not sin. Hello? But when you sin and you admit it and you confess, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us, cleanse us. Amen. And then you'll be refilled. But if you are there in no repentance, the thing that you are doing will come back to the moon. The thing that your life, your previous lifestyle, is the same lifestyle that you are living. So something very significant and unforgettable happened to Jesus at the banks of the river, full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you saw the direction of his life. When he came back, the Bible says he didn't go back. He was led into the way. He didn't go back. He came from Nazareth. He never went back to Nazareth. Full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's the challenge for some of us. Born again, yes. The experience, yes. But we go back to Nazareth and pick up our old lifestyles again. God does not want you to go back to Nazareth and pick up your tools again and live the life of a carpenter. He never went back to that trade again. Over! Hallelujah. Because when you are full, you discern. You are able to lock in into what God is saying. You are able to click. You are able to discern the voice of God. So as he left the banks of the Jordan River, he knew. He said he was full of the Holy Ghost. Remember, the Holy Ghost has moved in like a dove and came alongside of him and said, "Son, let's go. You are not going back." And he was willing. He was yielded. And he was obedient. What I'm saying is that there should be a change of lifestyle. He used to swear. You must stop swearing. Jesus was a very friendly man. What happened to all those friends in Nazareth? He left them! He left them. Some of us, that's our problem. We are not prepared to leave them. Full of the Holy Ghost. Conscious, aware that something had been deposited in him. And so like we are saying, say you are born again, you are Holy Spirit filled, and you are speaking in tongues. No, something should happen to you. Amen. And then you came back the same. Nobody seen any change. Born again, you went to Jordan. The heavens were open over your life. The Holy Spirit moved in. Same lifestyle, same associations, same language. No. So as we said earlier on, Jesus never went back to Nazareth, and particularly to the life of a carpenter. He forsook all. No one called him again to come and fix their roof. Amen. He was changed. And the next time he came to Nazareth, they were all astounded. And they were found change that he found. And he said, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not Joseph's son? What happened to him?" Yeah. Get born again. Sincere, genuine, authentic. Go born again in school. You go home. Change! Everybody will say, "What happened to him? He went to Jordan full of the Holy Ghost." No. People will discern that something has happened to him. Something has happened to him. We can't recognize him. That was when he went into the synagogue. And then he said, "That's what was his usual." Yes. And then they gave him a scroll. Then he opened to Isaiah and said, "Today, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." And they were looking at him. "Who is this? Because he has anointed me to preach good." So something must happen to you. Full of the Holy Ghost. And the point I want to emphasize here, so you get sensitive to the prompting and then the leading. For some of us, it is, and that's why I'm saying, you are born again, no fasting. You are afraid of fasting. It's because you are not yielded. So what else happened at Jordan? God conquered his will. Remember what he said? Ready to be led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. So your will has to be conquered. And God leads you, else you will not be a faster. It's a leading of the Holy Spirit. And you need to yield. So God must conquer our will. And Jesus had his will conquered. And he was ready to be led. He said to do, in the volume of the books it is written, to do thy will, O God. Maybe he attempted going back to Nazareth. He said, "No." Holy Spirit said, "No, no. I want to go and say bye-bye to mama." He said, "No." Off into the wilderness. Now the wilderness. So the next thing, this wilderness experience. Solitude. Proper fast. Spirit-led fast. He will lead you into solitude. Amen. Since being born again. No retreat. Personal retreat. Except the church calls for retreat. No retreats. Because you are not willing to be led. And so you need that wilderness experience away from distractions. The wilderness. Me and you say, "Pastor, where is wilderness in Kumasi?" Amen. I think it has to do more with the focus than the place. So yes, we may not have a place here, but you can retreat in your room. And you can, even your temple, yourself, your body, you can retreat there. Some of the things that your usual pastimes, we define it. And the things and things that you do, you retreat, you recoil from it. Then for now, I mean, let's just that. You need that solitude. You need that retreat away from distractions so that God can brief you. You can have your briefing concerning purpose, concerning destiny. That is why God needs you. He needs you aside. And then some of the distractions, including food, can act as a distraction. The Bible says that and when he led Israel, he said, he suffered you to hunger and to thirst in the wilderness so that he will teach you that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen. Away from distractions. So Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit. So we have said the leading of the Holy Spirit, obedience, yielded. He has conquered your will into the wilderness, solitude. Then let's go on verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days. So the leading of the Holy Spirit was the one who prescribed the fast, the duration. So the Spirit-led fast, God will prescribe it for you. Hallelujah. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you the prescription. Amen. So for Jesus, it was for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was there in the 40 days, 40 night fast. And the Bible says he neither ate nor drank. In the case of Jesus, that prescription, that thing was not said. So Bible scholars believe that perhaps he drank. Hallelujah. Amen. Elijah went for a 40 day. I'm saying this because Jesus didn't do it because Elijah did it. And that's sometimes the mistake we did. I want to be the next generation, Moses and Elijah. Oh, I'm sure even Moses was smart, isn't it? Elijah, fire and consume our enemies. So we prefer the Elijah one than Moses. Old. Moses, you go and bring law, save the Lord. It's not cute. Because we are so enamored about destroying all the witches in our homes. So we'll go and then fire, fire. Oh, let the topic be raised. Now we are going to burn the witches in our home. Then there's fire, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. My late pastor being raised that, oh my. God said that, do good to your enemies. Do good to your enemies, including the witches. We don't like that one at all. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to someone and say, we are New Testament believers. Amen. Amen. And that's exactly what Jesus told the sons of Boanerges, John and his brother. He says, no. It's not this is new. This is not the spirit of Elijah at work. Hallelujah. So when you are fasting, be sensitive. And he led him there. Amen. No, every fast, no, and then you have bombs, and then through, and then your mother-in-law, and then your mom, and you know, auntie, you are throwing bombs, and you kill all of them instead of leading them to salvation. So let's go on. Afterwards, he was hungry, but he was not thirsty. Amen. So it's presumed that he was drinking water. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. I think the last thing I want to say here, we said solitude. So Jesus, but if we go to Mark, can we go to Mark 1, where the fast is mentioned? Mark mentions it. And he was there in the wilderness, yes, 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered to him. So underline this. Let's list the people who were there. Who were there? Satan, wild beasts, angels, during the 40 days. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have looked at the duration. We have said that it has to be prescribed. Amen. And we have looked at the place. Now we are looking at the people who were there. Amen. I think the point that I want to draw attention concerning this verse is the fact that it was the Spirit that led him. But he wasn't there alone for 40 days. I want to presume that maybe he was reading the word. It's not stated. Amen. Because it is written. He said it is written in the word. Whether it was all inside or he went with a scroll, we don't know. But at least he had the word. Amen. But he was there alone. But there were angels of God. Angels ministered to him. Aside that, there was Satan. Amen. And then the wild beasts. Yes, so when you are fasting, remember you have an endorsement for an open heaven. Amen. So there will be voices. It's very, very, very critical. And we know what the devil was doing. The temptation was not a literal something. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he was still in the wilderness when the devil was tempting him. It was in the wilderness that he saw himself at the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem to jump. Amen. So it's very, very important to understand that when you are doing these fasts, you are waiting on God for God to speak. There are other elements there. The angels of God were there to minister to him, and the devil too was there. Amen. Now, this is the point. If you don't know the voice of God, the devil will speak and you think that it is God. The fact that you are fasting doesn't make you immune to satanic presence. So that when you embark on the fast, anything, that's why you need to know the word. Because if some weird instruction, like distorted instructions, come like Satan's own, then you know that no, this isn't it. This isn't the voice of God, because it is written. Else, anything you hear, you say that this is the voice of people come away from fast and begin to do weird things and say, I've heard this. And you are looking at the wisdom in what they are doing, and they are saying their instructions are from God just because they undertook a 40-day dry fast. Or I did, if I perish, I perish. I have undoubtedly no, Pastor, you are envying me. The place I went, you've never done 21-day dry before. I know that only the one that you only do is 3 days. If I perish, I perish. I did 21, and thus saith the Lord. And you look at what they are doing, and it is contrary to the word. And they will tell you dreams and visions. No, we are not doubting that you had dreams and visions. But those dreams and visions must be in conformity to the principles of the word of God. When you start fasting, he's not going to drive away Satan. He will rather attract his attention. Because that is why you need to be tempted to know whether you are going to stay loyal to God. So that when I said tempted by Satan, God had to test his loyalty. Later on, Paul will mention, will give comments on this and say that the first Adam failed him, but the second Adam proved his loyalty because he knew the word. And he was determined his will to submit and yield his will to that of God. Unlike the first Adam, who was tripped when Satan came tempted. So the first Adam was tempted. The second Adam, Jesus, was tempted. You and I will be tempted. By who? By the tempter, the adversary, the devil. When we are fasting, immediately we do, if you are in the mood of always doing some of these fastings, by all means, there will come a time that Satan will come on stage. It could be through dreams, it could be through visions, it could be whatever, seances, whatever experience, esoteric experience, God decides. But for God's sake, whatever experiences you go through must be in line with the principles of God. When you go and fast and somebody says, go and kill your mom, because you saw yourself with a hammer strangulating her, and you think it's coming from God because you were fasting. You fast and then he says you should rain curses on somebody. And then you are saying that God told you to rain curses on him as a New Testament believer. No. And that's why sometimes you have to talk to your pastors. And I'm talking about spirit-filled pastors who know the word of God. The word is the word. The word. The word. It is written. I'm talking about New Testament written. It is written. It is written, don't curse them. Do good to them. Your enemies, don't curse them. Amen. Modern day charismatic believers, sometimes we come out of fast and then we do all kinds of wondrous things. We do all kinds of things, supposedly being directed by the Spirit of God. But it's not in harmony with the word. It is not written. That's why you need to know your word.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Local Shema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life. Join or visit us for our in-person family service at Harvest Chapel International Dinyami Kumasi, close to Micklin Hotel and on the Sunset Road, this and every Sunday at 7 a.m. for our tea service, 8:30 a.m. for our Bible study, and 9 a.m. for our English service. You can also join us this and every Wednesday for our amazing midweek teaching service at 6 p.m. and on Fridays for our prayer solution service, also at 6 p.m.